of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 8. When you find that place, you stand. We'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Jeremiah, chapter number 8. Jeremiah, chapter number 8. You pray for us. The Lord, help us. I appreciate the witness of the Holy Ghost. I appreciate God helping us today. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's happening in your life. But I do know this, that the Lord's probably already there dealing with you. He's at least giving you opportunity in order to get right with God. I want to read Jeremiah chapter 8, and I'm going to read there we'll start in verse number 18. The Bible declares this, and he said, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Said, behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Said, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Said, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities?" Verse 20 says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me." Well, I like verse 22 real good. He said, "Is there no balm in Gilead? And is there no physician there?" Said, "Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" You can be seated. I want to say this to you tonight, and just to get everybody on the same page as to what's happening in the book of Jeremiah, is God has already declared unto these people, and already, my friend, they have crossed God's deadline, so to speak. God's a long-suffering God, and we all ought to thank God for it. Amen. But I'll say this to you, there comes a time, there comes a place where friend, where God's done. You already went past that point. Now, I want you to listen to me, and I'm going to try to do the best I can how to preach the Word of God today. God, for all of these years, had been dealing with the nation of Israel, and had been dealing with Judah, and you know what they'd do? They'd go after idols, and they'd go after their graven images, and they'd go after the things that they loved, and God would deliver them over into the hands of some strange nation. But boy, I sure am glad God was merciful to them. And from time to time, God would raise up a deliverer. And boy, that deliverer would come back. And well, I'm telling you, pray for me this morning, Lord, help us. But their deliverer would come, and that deliverer would deliver them out of the hands of bondage, and point them back up to Christ, and point them up to God. And the nation do pretty good for a while. But you know what would happen? My friend, it wouldn't take too long until all of a sudden that's going right back. And to maybe 20 years, 30 years, and the book of Judges seemed like it got longer and longer. But I'll tell you what ended up happening. That was my friend God. Just time and time again, he would send another deliverer and another deliverer. But you find in your Bible sometime in 2 Kings chapter 22, and whenever old Josiah's in that place, and they've gone back to the house of God, and the Bible says that Hilkiah and the scribe had found a book, and a boy, in that book the Bible says, and then old Josiah started trembling when he heard the words that was written in the book, and he said, "Man, we're in trouble." And the Bible said that they went back and they turned to God, and God sent by there and listened and told old Josiah. He said, "Since you humbled your heart," he said, "I want you to know that you're not going to see it." He said, "But surely I'm going to deliver them into the hands." In other words, let me say this. At that point in time, it was too late to repent, friend. At that point in time, everybody in the place could have started crying to God, but they had already crossed the line. God's judgment that was set on those people. Oh, man, what a sad day. Hey, listen, y'all know when I stand in the pulpit, I do the best I can just to preach the Bible, but I want to say some things this morning, and I want you to hear me. And where we're living at in America, and one of the great judgments of God on the people are bad leaders. Amen. I find it all through the Bible. And this ain't a Republican good leader and a Democrat good leader. I'm telling you, we're in trouble. Amen. And the judgment of God is on our nation. And whether you realize it or whether you don't, and we're just about past the point of the hell. And now look here, friend. I want you to understand the context. And Jeremiah's the old weeping prophet. And Jeremiah's trying to plead with them and to turn back to God. And in the middle of that, we find this. And they just kept on thinking, Bill, oh God, he's going to bail us out one more time. And God's going to help us one more time. I said, I know we've taken him for granted. I know we've taken advantage of him. But said, oh God, you know, dear old God, and the man upstairs, as they like to say, or some other nonsense like that, and say, you know, he'll help us. I'm telling you, listen to me, friend. God is a holy God, amen. And you get on his wrong side. Psalm chapter 7, that's very plain. And it said, God is angry at the wicked every day, amen. I want you to listen to me, and I want you to hear me well. Hey, come to this point, and when they get to this verse here, and verse number 20, and they're standing out there, and they're looking, and Brother Matt, for help, and they're looking for a deliverer, and they're looking for somebody. But the Bible said, after summer is ended, and the harvest is past. You know what that means, Brother Bill? That means the time had came, and the time had went, preacher. And they said, we ain't saved. It wasn't until that moment right there that they knew they was really in trouble. And boy, up until that point, they thought, sure as I'm standing here, God's going to help us one more time. But Brother Benny, when that harvest came and went, and when summer came and went, and there was nobody to deliver them, and then they knew that they was in trouble, and the judgment of God has settled down on the inside of their heart. I want to preach on this thought, and I'll not be long, but I want to preach on this, and I want you to hear me. I want to preach on four reasons out of this text on why you're not saved. Amen. Four reasons why people are not saved. I hope that everybody that's here, out of the sound of my voice, I hope you're saved. But if you're not, you'll fall into one of these four categories on why you ain't saved. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 7. In verse number 7, you pray God to help us here. He said, verse 7, he said, yea, the stork and the heaven knoweth her appointed times. It says, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow. But it says, observe the time of their coming. But notice this. It said, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Let me say the first reason why we find folks ain't saved is they don't know they need to be. Amen. Hey, some folks, that's a matter of ignorance. They simply don't know. I mean, listen, look here, friend. They didn't grow up in Jamestown, Tennessee. They didn't grow up in Scott County, Tennessee. They ain't had Harold Slavin and Billy Mitchell and Delmer Savage. They ain't had the great preachers of old. Mom, not everybody grew up and got to hear the gospel every Sunday morning. Hey, some folks that just, they don't know, Terry, and they can't help what they don't know. You know what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15? He said, awake and sin not. He said, for some have not the knowledge of God. He said, I speak this to your shame. And you will know why we support missions. That's because, thank God, there's some folks that they just don't know. Amen. I want you to hear me, and I want you to listen well. And one of the great difficulties that I have in coming back off of a mission trip is, Jesse, I stand in America where it's almost like folks have heard the gospel so many times, and they've heard somebody plead with their soul so many times that they just change the channel. They think about something else. They get their mind on everything else in the world. But Brother Jesse, I've stood in a place and I preached in a place when I got done. He said, please come back tomorrow. And tomorrow. He said, we've got friends and loved ones that don't know nothing about God. I said, would you please come back tomorrow? And Brother Josh, listen, you know, I'm not something grabbing a hold of your heart as we're standing in a place and where we've got knowledge abounded. But all the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. And some people just don't know. Amen. Oh, listen, I remember, thank God, it was a time in my life when I just did not know. I was in ignorance. I knew about church. I knew about Sunday school. I knew about preaching. I've been singing Amazing Grace since I could say anything. But I did not know the Lord. But oh, I was like old little Eli. I just tucked away, or Samuel rather, I tucked away in Eli's house. Boy, I'm glad there was a night. I'm glad there was a time. I mean, listen, thank God that the sweet Holy Ghost of God came by my way and said, Samuel, Samuel. He didn't say that night. I said, Kevin, Kevin. And for the first time in my life, I realized, thank God, what was going on. Hey, listen, I thought, all of a sudden, Tammy, pieces started coming together. And I thought, oh my, all that preaching about hell, all that preaching about sinners, I wasn't just talking to somebody, it was a talking to me, amen. And for the first time in my life, I was no longer ignorant. I'm telling you, thank God, and you're sitting in the house of God, and if you leave here lost tonight, hear me, you'll not leave falling into the first category. I'm telling you, rock, stock, and barrel, sure. Hey, you must be born again. Amen. Hey, it's not a matter of ignorance. Hey, you say, preacher, how do I get saved? I thank God. Amen. I thank God he made it plain. Hey, you said, what do you do? I do what he said. Amen. I wouldn't do what the Baptist said. I wouldn't do what the Presbyterian said. I sure wouldn't do what the Catholic said. I believe I just do what he said. Amen. Here's what he said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thou shalt be saved. I thought about the first category in verse number 7. There are people, listen, I'm telling you, thank God, these people under the sound of our voice, that they're just ignorant. They don't know any better. I mean, listen, they don't know. And I thank God, look here, I'm glad God will keep you in that place. But there'll be a time it'll no longer be about you don't know. Amen. These folks sitting under the sound of my voice now, that you know and you're still not saved. Amen. You know, thank God, you need to be. Hey, you know you ought to be. Hey, you know God said to be. And thank God you know how to be. Amen. But you're still not saved. Look in verse number 9. And won't you see what the Bible says here at verse number 9. It said, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed. And it said, lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. He said this, and what wisdom is in them? And in other words, Jeremiah, I told them what they needed to do, and they rejected it, and they thought, we'll do what we think's right. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, how many folks today are trying to do what they think's right? Let me say this to you. I'm just thinking about Africa, I guess. But you know, there was a time, Brother Savage said, back in the early 1900s, at least that smallpox broke out all across Africa. And that's what it said. And you know what they done in order to combat it? And they took little old brooms, and they took little idol gods, and Brother Bobby, they set them on top of their little huts, and they said that'll keep the smallpox god away. But on the other side of the country, it was a fella by the name of Ed Jenner. And you know what old Ed Jenner done? He got to notice that anybody that had cowpox didn't get smallpox. And you got one of your first vaccines. He said, let's just inject them with that, and we'll prevent them from getting the other. And now look here. You know what happened to everybody who put a broom on their house? They still died. You know what happened to everybody who took the vaccine, the smallpox vaccine? They lived. Amen. And now let me ask you this. Don't you guess the folks in Africa believe what they was doing worked? But it didn't work, did it? Amen. It didn't work. They said, well, that's what they said to do. We done it. But it didn't work. You know why it didn't work? It was nonsense. And it didn't matter how sincere they were in believing it. It still wasn't good enough to get the job done. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God how you can be as sincere as you want to be and still miss heaven. Amen. It's not a matter of ignorance. It's a matter of illumination. Hey, folks, listen to me. I want you to hear me very carefully. You can go through this whole thing, and you can believe in good works, and you'll say, man, I'll tell you what, good works gets me to heaven. And I'm telling you, thank God, good works won't get you out of this church house. Amen. Amen, thank God. Hey, you say being a good neighbor will do it. I'm telling you, being a good neighbor will do it. Hey, there's a lot of folks that make it. Hey, but I thank God, God saves even folks that ain't good neighbors. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to say this. I want you to hear me. Hey, there's a lot of things folks think they're going to do. That'll try to get them to heaven. But I want to be very, very plain. Hey, my friend, you'll stand like they stood on that day, looking out for trying to get help. I'll wake up in hell and say, oh my, summer is past, and the harvest is ended, and we're still not saved. When it comes this time, and my friend, it's far too late to get help then. Amen. Question really comes down to this. It comes to a matter of illumination. Is, are you willing to trust whatever you've got your faith in? Are you willing to die with it? You're going to die. It's going to happen. Like that or not, you're dying. Unless the rapture comes, I'm leaving. But I'm asking you this. Look here. If I just get real quiet still for just a minute. Well, when we cut out all the nonsense, and you close your eyes and you have to come face to face with death, what are you trusting in? And is it real enough that you're willing to die with it? I mean, down on the inside of your soul, Rodney. Boy, you need to be real sure. You said, preacher, what are you trusting in? I'm trusting the only thing there is to trust in. Yep. You said, how'd you find out about that? Found out in the settled word of God. Amen. I'm saying this. Hey, some folks that are here, you're lost because you're ignorant. I mean that. I don't mean that in an ugly way. You don't know. Hey, some folks that are here, they're lost because they're trying to trust some other means to get them to heaven. Yeah. I want you to know, if our gospel be hid, it'll be hid to them that's lost. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, said when they read Moses, there's a veil over it. When you listen to preaching, there's just a veil over that thing. And you just keep trusting whatever you want to trust. But I'm asking you this, is it enough to deliver you? I want you to watch this. Stay with me in your Bibles. Look down in verse number 11. It said, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Right. Hey, some folks that don't know they need to. Some folks, we come to that next place, they don't even understand to. Then we got some folks that when you come to this place right here, they don't know how to. Ain't it a great shame that these folks that sit in the house of God that don't know how to be saved? Yeah. What if all we did was just, we come and we tell everybody you're dying and going to hell, but nobody ever tells you what to do about it? That's where all the religions come from. They'll say, we'll do this. They'll say, we'll do that. I'll tell you what they said there, the prophets. Well, I'm telling you, them old prophets stood up in that day and they said, don't worry about it. Don't listen to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah's a kook. Said he's crazy. Don't listen to him. They said, God keeps on helping us, and said, God wants to bless you. And you know what happened? They believed it. Not only are bad leaders, now listen to me, don't fall out with me and don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to tell you what's right. Not only are bad leaders a judgment of God on the people, but so are bad preachers. These folks all the time, they say, man, why do so many folks go to Joel Osteen's church? It's the judgment of God upon those people. They keep rejecting the light, Sean. They don't want truth. They don't want to hear what God says. They want to be entertained and hear about how good they are. You're not going to hear that here. I know me and I know you. And there ain't not one of us good according to what the Scripture says. And I'm not interested in you living your best life now. I'm interested in you living your best life in eternity. And I want you to hear me. You can believe whatever you're going to believe. But boy, they some folks, they come right here and they say, we just don't know how to. They was believing the wrong people. Believing the wrong people. You know what the Bible says about how to be saved? Let's go with what the Bible says. Don't you think that'd be a good place to go? It's a work of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. In other words, it's not a gift of the Pope, not a gift of the church, not a gift of the preacher. It's a gift of God, amen. That's why whenever Paul got to thinking about it and he got happy about it, he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, amen. It's a gift from God, thank God. It's also a work of faith. That right? It's an operation of God. I thought about Samuel. Listen, I know. I ain't even got to the reason most folks are dying and going to hell, but I will. And if I have to preach it by myself, just me and the Lord, I'm preaching it. I want you to listen. I thought about Samuel. Samuel, one time he found out he was sick. You could have said, man, them doctors are crazy. You need a transplant. And you didn't help them with it either, did you? Not qualified. You'd have killed yourself. You'd have died. So you know what you done? You trusted the physician. You just cast all yourself on them. And the next time you woke up, an operation had been done. The transplant had been completed, amen. You want to know how you get born again by the grace of God? You don't try to help God, amen. God don't need your help, thank God. You ain't got to hold your mouth right. You ain't got to say the right words. I'll tell you what you do. You come up to God, say, God, I got a bad heart because you said I did. I got a bad soul because you said I did. And I can't do a thing about it. So I'm trusting you to do it for me. I commit yourself into the hands of a great physician. And thank God when he gets done, the operation will be complete. Amen. 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 Penance toward God, faith the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know none of them big Bible words. I knew I needed an operation. I knew in my heart. I knew in my heart things wasn't right. And I knew that there wasn't nobody else could help me with it. So I ran to the only one who they said could help me. Yeah. Amen. Brother Savage, to thank God for all the people that was around me that had already had a similar operation. They all stood up and they lifted up their hands. They said, man, boy, they'd get happy in God. They'd say, God one time done it for me back in 1947. And then you'd hear them say about 1960-something. And there I stood in 1988. And I thought, man, is it the same fella? He's never lost one. Nobody's ever died on his hands. Everybody that came down with a bad heart left with a good heart. Is that still the same one? And when I found out it was, I said, I'm in safe hands. Amen. I didn't try to help him. You don't know enough to help him. Let me give you this, and I'm done preaching. Some people, it's a matter of ignorance. They don't know to. Some people, it's a matter of illumination. They're trying to help their own self. Some people, it's a matter of instruction. We just need to instruct them. Say, here's what you do. This is what the Bible says. You know why most people's not saved?
Listen to me. It's not because they don't know to. It's not because they don't need to. And it's not because they don't understand to. It's because they don't want to. They ain't saved because they don't want to be saved. They want to drink their beer.
Yeah, buddy.
They want to look at their magazines. They want to look at what's on their phone. They want to cuss. They want to smoke. They want to do all of those things. I got thinking about this. You know what? There's going to come a time that every one of those things are going to lose their hold in your life. I talk to folks all the time. Boy, there's a time that the only thing they cared about was deer hunting. And now I say, man, what about deer hunting? I say, you know what? I just don't even care if I go anymore. There's a time that, boy, all folks care about is, let me give you just a few. Can I do that and I'll be done? Yeah. That rich young ruler, boy, is all his possessions. Them Benjamins, boy, he liked them.
Amen.
I've talked to too many people that they spent their whole life trying to get money. And then all of a sudden they got it. Listen to me. And they don't even care about it. Ain't that a sight? I know folks like King Agrippa in this Bible that the only thing they care about is power.
Yeah.
And then they get it. It's gone. They don't care about it no more. Look here. You can be the best whatever you want to be in life. You can't be it forever. But you know why most folks just ain't saved? They're like Demas. Apostle Paul said, and Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world.
Amen,
it's not because you don't know you need to. It's not even you don't understand how to. Because when it comes right down to it, you don't want to. You say, no, preacher, I want to be, but the Lord won't. No, you're a liar. I wish I say that kinder. I wish I could. No, you're lying. You may be lying to yourself or somebody may have lied to you. That's not what God said. I don't care what you think. I care what God thinks. And if you're willing, God's willing. I'm asking you this. What is it? I thought about this week, and I told you some of this stuff. There's some folks that it's a fighting rooster, and that's what they're going to die and go to hell over. That's influenced their life more than anything else. And there's some people, it's a bottle.
Yeah.
I wish the Holy Ghost would help me right here real good. And there's some folks, it's the razors.
Yeah.
Boy, you know when the best riding day is, don't you, Joe? Nay, some folks, it's an old dead cow that's been stuffed with air.
Oh, yeah.
And they care too much about something else. I'm purposefully, I believe with the help of the Holy Ghost, slow right now. I want it to really sink in your heart. There's going to come a time you're going to be stripped of everything. You can't shoot a ball forever, and you can't throw a baseball forever, and you can't earn money forever. You can't hunt forever. You can't fish forever, and you can't ride forever. But one thing's for sure, if you don't accept Christ, you will die forever. The summer's past. Harvest is ended. We're not saved. At that point, they'd waited one day too late to get things where they needed to be. I've cleared my heart. Let's stand to our feet. They come get a song, a hymn of invitation.